honorable members, also a special word of welcome to the honorable minister of police, honorable Nkosinathi Mfeka, the delegation from SAPS, as well as civil society and the media and all other interested parties. Welcome to the Bushveld Committee on Police. As we indicated on Wednesday, it's another Friday meeting, but it's an important meeting. I think it is quite important that we in the older series chamber, because last year the minister introduced the tradition that they will come to the portfolio committee. So it's the second year in a row, we welcome that approach. Because we also have parliamentary oversight that the members get the first opportunity to interact with the minister and each management on the report back on the year that's passed. So that is quite good. I think it's also the first time that stats will reflect a part of term of the acting national commissioner, so we will also look at that from that perspective. Members, we're going to give you an opportunity for yourself to introduce yourself to the delegation, and of course then you also ask the minister to introduce his delegation, and we will then give over to the minister to do the introductory remarks and briefing from the side of SAPS. Let's start with honourable members.
Goeiemôre dames en here. My naam is Enzima Lewari. Ek is van hierdie komitee. Baie dankie.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Minister and all colleagues. My name is A.M. Sheikh Imam. I'm a member of this committee.
Goeiemôre. Ek is Pieter Groenewald en ek is lid van die komitee.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kendile Mola, a member of the committee. Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Minat Ramasatan, member of this committee.
I'm Nasheri. Good morning, I'm Minat Mahmoud, member of this
committee. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson. Salman Ali Musatel and Gary, member of the committee.
Good morning, I'm Jerome Marke, a member of this committee.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I also see back the Secretary of Police here, I also see the Chairperson of CIRA, I also see the head of the DPCI. Also welcome to them at this meeting. Without further ado, I'm going to then give an opportunity to the Honourable Minister for the presentation, but of course the introductions of course important, and so let's go over to the Minister of Police. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, ladies and gentlemen. I think like the structure of this chamber. You have this side of where I'm sitting. It looks like the political side. All political parties are sitting this side. They are united today in this situation. And then the other side, of course, are the bureaucrats. You know, the people who work for government, the employees. And then the backbenchers is interesting, the media. Backbenchers. It's quite an interesting kind of setup. But before I proceed with anything, I think I would like to ask the acting national commissioner to introduce our delegation at this meeting, and then thereafter, Honourable Chair, I would like to then do some few remarks before handing back over to the acting national commissioner to then run us through the technical aspects of the reporters were presenting it today. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Minister. Just to give an indication also to members, of course, after the relevant briefings, there will be ample opportunity for the various political parties to give their comments, but also questions for clarification. General Mafano, welcome.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Minister, and Honourable Members. The delegation of the police is comprised of Lieutenant General Nkunya next to me, who is the Deputy National Commissioner for Human Resource Management, Lieutenant General Cruiser, the Deputy National Commissioner for Management Intervention, Lieutenant General Masemola, the Deputy National Commissioner of Policing, Lieutenant General Mukaneza, the National Head of the Directorate Private Crime Investigations. And on his left is Lieutenant General Ngomo, the Divisional Commissioner responsible for Protective Services, and the Provincial Commissioner of the Western Cape Province, Lieutenant General. I see they are not indicating where they are, And then on the left of General Juna is Lieutenant General Mathieu, the Divisional Commissioner for Police, for Visible Policing. And behind me, Major General Sikukune, the head of the Crime Registrar. And on his left is Major General Leon Bawi, the head of Strategic Management. We also are with Brigadier Marshal Gilepe, from the Office of the National Commissioner. We have there an honorary member, Colonel Sey. And Chair, I overlooked the certain city, the Deputy National Commissioner responsible for legal asset management. And we also among us have colleagues from ZSA, Mr. Temer, who is leading the ZSA delegation on behalf of the Statistician General. As you know, ZSA plays a very critical role in the work that we do, particularly in consolidating the statistics for our reporting purposes. And I'm not going to go through everyone. There are colleagues over there who come from ZSA, but also from the South African Police Service, from the Office of the Registrar. That's in short, Mr. Minister.
Thank you very much, General. Minister, over to you. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. The crime statistics is what we're measuring them today. They are for the period of 2015-2016. You will see in the presentation that we have covered the four broad aspects of the broad categories of the of crime in South Africa. In other words, the kind of crimes that are more reported, that are reported largely by members of our community, the various centers of the service points in the country, and so on. So that's the category, the four categories. The other category, of course, is the category of detecting, in other words, the work done by the police in detecting elements of crime and so on. The interesting feature, though, painted by these broad categories is that South Africa is experiencing a decrease in incidents of crime in the broad categories, with the exception of one particular category that appears to be quite stubborn, and that's conduct crime category. But if you go into the final and deeper analysis of what the conduct crime analysis outlook is all about and so on, it definitely talks to the social fabric of our society. It outlooks the patterns of social behavior and everything else about it. But what that then says is that we have to, not only just the South African Police Service, but society as a whole, we have to put up an effort to deal with the social foundations of the conduct crime category, for example, in terms of how do we begin to expand and eradicate some of the inimical behaviors that we have within the within our society. So that's one feature that emerges also when we go through the crime section. The other area of the presentation that we also run is the question of what remedial actions are we then embarking upon to deal with some of the identified defects or sins in the criminal in the crime outlook, as suggested by the crime statistics. At the center of which it's the also the concept notion that we had appeared before the portfolio committee on the question of back places, and that has been the pivotal point of the remedial actions that we have been mounting against some of the measures that were identified. And having said so, at a later point today, let me just say also, at a later point today, perhaps this afternoon, I would also be going through the sociological aspects of the crime situation in South Africa, which at some point would also like to appear before the portfolio committee to have a discussion about some of those populations. But that's at a later appointee today. But for now, I would ask the General Khartan, the Acting National Commissioner, to then lead us through the presentation on what the time spent are and what they should to basically suggest and all the categories is applied. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister, for that. General, over to you.
Thanks, Minister, honorable chair, honorable members. I think we are very grateful to be here to be able to share with the honorable members and the nation the work done by the South African Police Service. We believe that with the minister here in the sheet, we have run a great race towards the end of the financial year. We have covered some ground, and there is more that needs to be done. The fight against crime is not only a police responsibility. We all, as a collective, must work together. But what is encouraging us is the cooperation, the support that we get from all sectors. And we believe that that which we have started, when we committed ourselves to turn the picture around, is to be continued in the current financial year. We will be then the same. When we say that we have made progress, sometimes it is not convincing, especially when you talk of an area where lives are being lost. But what we are beginning to experience is a downward trend, which suggests that our efforts are making a fair dent to fight against crime. So, Honorable Chair, I'm going first to allow the Mr. Tema from ZSA to present the statement of the Statistician General, which proves that we were not on our own in processing the statistics, and that this process is subjected to a serious quality control process. So he will do the statement, and Major General Kukuni, the head crime register, will then run the statistics as found in the presentation. And General Ravi will do the last part that the minister spoke to in as far as the strategic approach is concerned. So if that enjoys the approval of the chair, I'm going to ask Mr. Tema to talk to us.
General, yes, I think we welcome the fact that that is part of the presentation this year. I think that was a matter that matured very sharply last year in terms of the methodology, the accuracy, and the reliability. So we welcome the fact that there was good cooperation from satisfied with that. So I think the committee is happy with that approach. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I will be taking you through the Statistician General Statement. Statistics Act No. 6 of 1999 requires the Statistician General to coordinate statistical production in the country beyond the confines of Statistics South Africa. In this respect, ZSA has been working with the South African Police Services on improving the quality of current statistics since 2011. The collaboration between the SAPS and ZSA has culminated in the two organizations entering into a memorandum of understanding in April 2015. As a consequence of the MOU, the Statistician General constituted a clearance committee to evaluate and authenticate the quality of crime statistics in line with South African Statistical Quality Assessment Framework, using the SAS supply. The main focus of the assessment was on the processes of compiling the crime statistics using selected indicators within the following SAS dimensions: methodological soundness, accuracy, comparability and coherence, integrity, timeliness. During 2015-2016, an assessment of the SAS measures not previously done, namely relevance, accessibility, and interpretability, were performed. The assessment outcome indicated compliance of the SAPS processes with most aspects of the selected source health quality dimensions. The challenges identified through the assessment processes were such that the SAPS could effect the necessary improvements without any major difficulty to ensure compliance by the next annual publication. Once all recommendations have been implemented, the South African Police Service may request a full independent assessment to establish its level of readiness to produce official statistics. Finally, having given due consideration to the intended introduction of a quarterly crime statistics series, I fully support this initiative. However, this should be preceded by an exercise that focuses on risk analysis and human resource requirements. Such an exercise will ensure that the production system is both stable and sustainable before actual quarterly publication can occur. In order to ensure full benefit from the criminal justice value chain, the Statistician General will coordinate the process of aligning statistics production throughout the criminal justice system. This will require, amongst others, the implementation of standardized classifications, standards, and policies that covers the whole statistical value chain. My assessment of the publication, taking into account the recommendations of the clearance committee, is that while the publication has not reached the level of official statistics, it is compliant with national statistics, and I thus endorse the 2015-2016 crime statistics publication and encourage its use by stakeholders. I also thank the leadership of the South African Police Service for the ambition of producing crime statistics quarterly and for consistently aspiring for the production of high-quality crime statistics in the country. To this end, as the Statistician General, I stand ready to work with them on assessing capacity and resource requirements for achieving this ambition. I thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. We will give the opportunity to be looking to ask when we have got the opportunity.
Thanks, Honorable General Sikuku.
Thank you, Chair. I'll be taking you through the current statistics for the financial year of April 2016 to the 31st March of 2016. The outline of the presentation will cover the categories of crime, the methodology that we've used, the quality improvement initiative that we put in place, and also go into the crime statistics analysis, bringing into consideration the serious community reported crimes, and also the four crimes detected as a result of police action. And then I can accept state and then hand over to General Harvey to bring us through the strategic object approach and also the conclusion. In the introduction, we say that in compliance with the 2016 Cabinet decision to increase the frequency of publication, we hereby confirm that the crime statistics will be released on a quarterly and on an annual basis. It is envisaged that if we increase the frequency of these reports, they will enable government to monitor on a more frequent basis key government targets in the medium-term strategic framework, and also to enable the South African Police Service to implement a more proactive policing approach. The presentation focuses on the crime statistics for the financial year 2015-16, that is the reference period in the financial year. And the overall analysis depicts that notable progress has been made towards the reduction of the 70 community reported crimes. Crime statistics herein relates to the two broad categories of crime, namely the 17 community reported crimes and the four crimes detected as a result of police action. Now, the four crimes detected, the 17 community reported crimes, these are the crimes which are brought to the attention of the police or reported by the members of the public to the members of the police services. They are classified into four categories, which are your contact crimes, contact related crimes, property related crimes, and other serious crimes. The classification that has been used here has been used in accordance with the seriousness of the crime and also according to who is the target of this crime that has been perpetrated. And these contact crimes include murder, sexual offences, attempted murder, assault DBH, common assault, common robbery, and we also have a broader category which is called robbery aggravating circumstances. It includes a number of other crimes, but due to the victim of crime survey that we have looked into, we have observed that there are those crimes which are called the true crimes, which has been reported that they are the most common occurring crimes and they are the ones that are most feared by households. So we also want to highlight those crimes which are targeting robbery residential and robbery non-residential. Contact-related crimes include arson and malicious damage to property, burglary at residential premises, burglary at non-residential premises, theft of motor vehicle and motorcycle, theft out of motor vehicle or from motorcycle and stock theft. As you can see, according to the category, these are called property-related crimes because the objective of the crime itself is to alleviate people or institution of their personal belongings. Then we also have another category which is called other serious crimes, which is made up of other commercial crimes and shoplifting. The other category that you are reporting on is what we call the crimes that are detected as a result of police action. These are detected as a result of police action because they are detected as a result of proactive policing measures that are implemented to catch the crime. And these measures include patrols, roadblock, stop and search operation, and specialized operations that are put in place, like Operation Fiela, Operation Festive Season, Operation Masiga, and many other operations that are put in place. And they include illegal possession of firearms and ammunition, drug-related crimes, driving under the influence of alcohol and drugs, and sexual offenses detected as a result of police action. The methodology that we have employed in producing these statistics is that these are what we call police recorded crime statistics, and they are derived from an administrative collection system which is called CAS, or Crime Administration System. What we also like to mention is that all crimes which are brought to the attention of the police are recorded based on the date of reporting and not necessarily on the date of occurrence. The source document for recording these crimes is a docket, and each charge is allocated a crime code, and this is prescribed going to CAS. These charges are then classified and categorized into what is called the summary of serious crime codes, and these codes are the ones that are used for crime steps reporting purposes. What I would also like to mention is that irrespective of the manner in which a crime is closed off, as long as it has been reported to the police, it will still form part of reported crime statistics, irrespective of whether it is at a later stage withdrawn by the complainant or withdrawn by court. What we have also done in terms of improving the quality of statistics is that we've taken a decision in collaboration with SSA to remove all crimes that have been closed off as unfounded. An unfounded case is a case which, by according to Standing Order General 325, allows a member to close off a case as unfounded based on the availability of additional verifiable information. These statistics do not form part of the current statistics. Then we also report on raw figures. The raw figures for this instance is because we still, in collaboration with HSA, still have to determine and be allowed access to the media population estimation. They've just published the media population estimates and hints that will revise the census 2011 data based on those media population estimates. Then, in terms of the memorandum of understanding that was signed with PSSA, every statistics crime report will be assessed for quality before each and every annual release. than these. I can confirm that the current statistics report has been quality assessed by the technical working team that is composed of members of Stage A and the South African Police Services. Based on the outcome of the two assessments in the initial round, we assess the data based on 6 quality dimensions, and in the current round, additional 3 quality dimensions were added. They then recommended that the SACs look into the possibility of subjecting the crime statistics to a full independent social assessment. Based on that recommendation, we are expected also to develop policies and standards that will cover the whole strategic value chain production, which include a dissemination policy and, among others, a revision policy. We will ensure that whenever there is a requirement for previous access of the statistics, we will then include it in the dissemination policy. It will give the terms and conditions among which designated members nominated by the National Commission can have that pre-release access, and the terms and rules and conditions on which that pre-release access can be granted. The revision policy will also be developed in terms of the crime is a dynamic phenomenon that certain things change, and some of the times cabinet requests certain decisions to be implemented, like for instance the switching of sexual offences, because in the initial publication, sexual offences were reported in terms of the contact crimes. But then cabinet requested the decision that can we skip the contact sexual offences and remove those that are detected as a result of police action. So based on that, we will then remove the crime detected as a result of police action and no longer present it as form of social contact crimes, but is reported under crime detected as a result of police action. And this revision policy will allow us to implement such measures when and as when they are needed. So now getting to the core of the business, the crime statistics itself. What we also like to mention here is that the unit of counting that is used in the compilation of crime statistics is a charge and not a docket. This implies that whenever a crime instance might have happened, one docket might contain one or more additional charges. And hence, it does not necessarily mean that what we are presenting here, it automatically represents the number of victims who have been victimized. It simply says that one victim might have suffered multiple charges in one docket. And that is the basis on which we report on the crime statistics. That is the unit of the charge. Looking at the 17 community reported crimes, we observe that in the past financial year, a total of 2.1 million charges were recorded by the South African Police Service. Of these, 1.7 were community reported and 365,000 were those crimes detected as a result of police action. The percentage contribution of the broad categories of the 17 community reported crimes contributed 83%, and the crime detected as a result of police action contributed 17% to the total picture of crime. Now, when we look at the 1.7 million charges that have been reported and classified and according to the categories that have been agreed upon, we observe that contact crimes have contributed 35.2% to the 17 community reported crimes, and then property-related crimes has contributed 30.7% to this basket. In essence, it means that 65.9% of the crimes that have been reported in the 17 community reported crimes emanate solely from contact crimes and property-related crimes. The rest of the basket is made up of 27%, which is other serious crimes, and 7%, which is contact-related crimes. When we look at the 17 community reported crimes, we observe that these have been decreasing since 2013. A decrease of 0.3% was observed in 2013-14. This was followed by a further decrease of 0.4% in 2014-15, and a more pronounced decrease of 1.4% in the current financial year. And over the 10-year period, we observe that the 17 community reported fines has decreased by over 9%. That is from 2006, when we do a percentage change, we realize that we started off at 1.9 million charges, and currently we are sitting at 1.7 million charges, which results in a 9% percentage decrease over the 10-year period. In terms of the broad categories, what we observe here is that overall, three of the four broad categories have decreased in the current financial year. Contact-related crimes decreased by 2.7 percentage points. Property-related crimes decreased by 1.8 percentage points. And other serious crimes have decreased by 4.1 percentage points. We acknowledge that significant strides have been made in all efforts to reduce all categories of serious crime, as is observed here. And the only exception is that the contact crimes have only increased by a 0.1 percentage point change, whereas the other three categories have been on the decline across the 3-year period. The provincial breakdown tells us that seven of the nine provinces, they have all recorded decreases in the 17 community reported crimes, with the highest decrease observed in the Free State of 3.8 percentage points, and only two provinces of the seven that have shown a decrease, that is being Limpopo and Mpumalanga. The other provinces like Gauteng, Western Cape, Free State, and the Northwest have all recorded decreases, whereas Northern Cape remained at a stable condition. Then we go into the breakdown of the contact crimes. The contact crimes, they refer to those crimes in which the victim themselves are the target of violence or property is targeted, and the victim is in the vicinity during the commission of these crimes and are subject to threat of violence or the use of such violence. We've already talked to the contact crimes in the first class, so I will not necessarily go into them again, but I will emphasize that other crimes which are called the trio crimes, and we, when we go and report about them, we need to keep in mind that these have already been reported as subcategories of probably aggravated circumstances. Contact crimes have increased by 1% in the current financial year when compared to the 2014-15. However, over the 10-year period, contact crimes decreased by 14%. Although the contact crime increased by 1%, it shows that over the 10 years we move from 724,393 to 623, resulting in a 14% decrease. When we break down the contact crimes, we observe that murder has increased by 0.3 percentage points. Sexual offenses have also decreased. Attempted murder increased by 0.2 percentage points. So this assault GBH, common assault, and other robberies, which is your common robbery and robbery with aggravating circumstances. Especially common robbery has decreased by over 4.1%. And robbery aggravating, although it is increasing, we have managed to curb that GQ increase from 12.8 percentage change to a current 2.7%. The contact crimes have decreased in three of the nine provinces, that is Eastern Cape, Free State, and the KZN, whereas we have observed increases in the Gauteng province, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northwest, Northern Cape, and the Western Cape. The types of contact crime, we've observed that the murder has increased by 4.9%, which still seems to be a problematic crime which we're facing. It is believed that it is of a social contact nature and happens mostly indoors and among people known to each other who are in either acquaintances, and in some instances it happened between the in the domestic violence setting, and also alcohol abuse has been seen to be prominent in the occurrence of this drug. It has also increased by 4.9%. When you look at the provincial breakdown, the only province that has managed to reverse this crime is the Northern Cape, which has recorded a decrease of 9.9%. The rest of the provinces have shown increases ranging from 1.3% to 15.6% observed in the Limpopo. Sexual offences, these offences are grouped according to the daily summary of serious crimes, and it includes rape, contact sexual offences, sexual assault, and all attempts of the above-mentioned crimes. What we have observed is that these sexual offences have been sharply decreasing since the 2013-2014 financial year, and the current decrease is at 3.2% when we compare the previous financial year to the current financial year. When we look at the increases, we observe that in 2013-14 this crime decreased by 6.9%, in 2014-15 it decreased by 5.6%, and in the current financial year it has further decreased by 3.2%. Then when you look at the provincial breakdown, we see that 7 of the 9 provinces have all recorded decreases in this crime. However, the highest contributors in terms of these is the Eastern Cape, your Gauteng, KZN, and the Western Cape. And all these highest contributing provinces have also shown decreases. The only two crimes, the only two provinces that have increased in this respect is only in both and the Northern Cape. Then when you look at the appellate manner, it has increased by 3.4% when compared to the previous financial year. However, when compared to 2016-17, this crime has recorded a 9.1% decrease. Then, in terms of provincial breakdown, what we observed is that similar to the patterns that are observed in terms of the murder, attempted murder has also increased in 6 of the 9 provinces, and 3 of the 9 provinces have recorded decreases. That is in your Western Cape, 7.6% decrease, Northwest 8.6% decrease, Free State 3.6% decrease, Gauteng has shown an increase of 8.9%, whereas KZN has shown an increase of 3.1%. Assault with intent to commit previous bodily harm, similarly to social contact crimes, happens mostly indoors, involves people known to each other, and what we have observed is that this crime has decreased by 16% over a 10-year period and a 5% reduction over a 5-year period. 4 of the 9 provinces have recorded decreases in the current financial year, these being the Eastern Cape, Free State, KZN, and the Western Cape. The highest contributing state province in this regard, which is Gauteng, has also shown an increase of 2.3%. Then when we look at common assault, we observe that common assault has increased by 2% in the current financial year. However, over the 10-year, common assault has decreased by 20%. Over the 5-year period, this crime has decreased by 8.4%. And when you look at the provincial breakdown, 4 of the 9 provinces reported a decrease in the Eastern Cape, Free State, KZN, and also the Northern Cape. The highest contributing station of station, provinces that are contributing high volumes, that is Southern and Western Cape, have shown increases of 3.1% and 5.5% respectively. I would like at this stage maybe to come to the issue that these crimes are crimes that are mostly of a social nature, and would like to put some of the research that has been done with respect to these crimes. I will just simply highlight those. But then further, I would also like to emphasize that due to the voluminous of this particular presentation, some of the slides will, with your permission, be skipped so that we make sure that we can finish the whole presentation in the allocated time frames. But we've observed in terms of these contact crimes is that, as it has been alluded, mostly they happen indoors, it happens between people who are known to each other, and in some instances also involve the use and abuse of. And also involve the use and abuse of alcohol. What we have observed is that although it's a well-known fact that most of the victims and perpetrators of this contact crime are of the masculine gender, I would just like to quote a few observations that we have made when we do the product analysis in some of the provinces, not necessarily going into the details of each research that we have done, but just putting the highlights of what we have observed. I will use the mayor just to explain the phenomenon that is observed in terms of the social contact crimes, because the factors that contribute to social contact crimes, attempted murder and the likes, seem to be more or less the same. When we did the docket analysis, we observed that there is an issue of some instances where multiple murders happen in one scenario. In one case, we observed a case of domestic violence in which 7 victims were killed in one instance. 16 cases involved 2 victims, that is domestic violence. And again, another 2 cases of domestic violence included 3 victims, 1 included 4 victims, 1 included 6 victims, and 1 included 7 victims. Further on that local analysis, we found that the 5th of these murder occurred in the residence of the victims, 95%, 9.5 in March, siblings of Harvard. And from these, it has emerged that 6.8 of the victims and 7.7 of the victims had consumed alcohol 2 or prior to the time of committing the murder. What we have also observed is that there is also pronounced gang-related violence that is included, involved in this. Also, zamas. Then we have also observed that the victims of the murder were aged between 20 and 39. 8% of the victims were found to be less than 19 years, and majority of offenders were aged between 20 and 39. And those that have been arrested have been found to have committed or are repeat offenders of these crimes. Now, when we look at the robbery with the aggravating circumstances, we observe that although it has increased by 2.9% in the current financial year, it is worth noting that the rate of increase is currently slowing down. When we look at the graph, it shows an increase of 2.7%, but the rate of increase is slowing down, especially when one considers that in 2013-14, this crime increased by 30,475, and in 2014-15, it has increased by 10,082 cases, and in the current financial year, it has only increased by less than 1/3 of the differences that have been observed in the previous financial year. That is, it has only increased by 3,482. So when you look at the rate of change of these increases, you see that although they are increases, they seem to be leveling out when considering that it came from 10,000 in terms of the increases to from 13,000 to 10,000 and currently in the financial year to 3,432 cases. And provinces contributing to this increase in terms of volume were Gauteng province, which is 1992, and it has recorded an increase. Western Cape has also been the highest coming region in terms of volume, and it has also increased by 2.7%. Three of the provinces have recorded decreases in margins ranging from 8.8% in the Free State to 3.5% decrease in the Eastern Cape, and the other one is Northern Cape. Common robbery has also been decreasing. The current financial year, when compared to the previous financial year, decreased by 1.5% after increasing by 2.7% in the previous financial year. Also, when you look at the trend from 2013 to the current financial year, you see that there's increased by 2.7% in terms of the previous financial year. However, it has come down to the current financial year by a percentage change of 1.5%. And over the 10 years, this crime has decreased by 23% when you do the percentage change between 2006-07 and 2015-16. In terms of provincial breakdown, only three provinces recorded increases, that is Limpopo, Northern Cape, Gauteng, and the other six provinces all recorded decreases, ranging from a low of 0.1 in the northwest to a high decrease of 7.7% recorded in the Western Cape. Now, these crimes we have already touched on when we were reporting on the robbery with aggravating circumstances. We mentioned that the trio crimes have been enhanced because, according to the Victims of Crime survey, which was conducted by Searchers Team, these were the crimes that have been reported to be the most feared and most serious crimes. We only going to focus on the trio crime that is targeting robbery residential and robbery non-residential, although the whole category of robbery aggravation includes other cases like carjacking, cash in transit, and also bank robbery. These crimes are the crimes which are recorded in cases over the medium term, and highlighting thereof makes visible the progress that has been made to curb the upward trend. An analysis of the reported crime, when you look at the next slide, shows that although the crime levels in respect of, for instance, using a robbery of residential premises, it has shown a 2.7% decrease in the current financial year compared to the increase recorded in 2014-17 of 4.7% decrease, that is percentage point decrease. And the same principle applies when you look at the robbery of non-residential. And the objective of prioritizing this and targeted intervention towards the reduction or having thereof, and also to ensure that in the coming financial year, all effort will be put to ensure that the gains observed in these crimes will be maintained and further reversed. Carjacking has been increasing over since 2011-12. It has increased by 4.3% in the current financial year compared to the previous financial year. What is also worth noting is that theft of motor vehicles seems to be on the decline, car hijacking seems to be on the increase. That is to say that there's a negative correlation between the increase in car hijacking and also theft of motor vehicles. This crime has increased in the nine provinces, with the only crime in the province showing a decrease in the Free State of 4.4%. Robbery at residential premises has increased by 2.7%, although that when you consider the rate at which it is also increasing, you see that the increases, because it comes with that the trend can be reversed from an increase of 1,334 cases in 2013 to almost 50% in the number of increases. That is, the difference between the previous financial year's increase is less than, is more than what is the current difference between the current financial year and the previous financial year. Whereas in the past, we had 1,324 cases increase. In the current financial year, we only had 539 cases. Robbery at the residential premises, we observed that four provinces have recorded decreases, ranging from 3.4% decrease in Gauteng, 3% in Mpumalanga, 4.1% in the northwest, and the highest decrease recorded in the Northern Cape of 13.8%. In terms of rural and non-residential, it is also increasing by 2.8%, and the margin of increase has also been coming down as it has been observed in the other contact crimes. Since 2013, which was a difference of 2,280, currently we have moved to the previous financial year, 597 cases, and the current increase in the current financial year is only 538 cases. Similarly to other observed crimes, the differences in terms of movement from 1 year to the next, although still an increase, shows to be slowing down because the margins seem to be going down further and further. Robbery at non-residential premises, it has increased in four of the nine provinces, Eastern Cape, Free State, Northwest, and also the Western Cape. And then these are other categories of truck hijacking. We observe that truck hijacking has done a turnaround from increasing consistently since 2011-12 to a decrease of 7.4% in the current financial year. That is from 1,279 cases, we are now at the low of 1,184. And then with a concerted effort, we believe that we can even surpass the starting off point or the benchmark that we have observed in the previous financial year, or even reach a level that we have observed in 2007-2008. This crime has increased in the four provinces, that is Eastern Cape, KZN, Mpumalanga, and the Northern Cape. And the decreases have been observed in the highest contributing province, which is Gauteng, recording a 13.6% reduction. The state also recorded a 27% reduction. Limpopo, 44.4% reduction. Northwest, 6.7% reduction. And the Western Cape, 25.2% reduction. Robbery of person transit, there's increased by 15.1%, but these are those categories of robbery and damage which are not necessarily prevented through crimes. And if you allow me, can I move on to the other slide also in the interest of time? Bank robbery has also observed a decrease of 4.7%, which is a difference from 17 to the current 6. All provinces, have, the exception of the West, has recorded decreases in this crime. Free State 100%, Limpopo 100%, Northern Cape 100%, Eastern Cape 100%, although in terms of the volume, the numbers are very low, but the percentage in the city Northwest increased by 300 from one case to three cases in the current financial year. Contact crimes in the current financial year, when compared to the previous financial year, they have decreased by 0.8%. And over the 10-year period, we have observed a 16% decrease. The provinces or the broad category breakdown, we observe that ASEAN has decreased by 4.4% when we compare to the previous financial year. And also malicious damage has been reversed from an increase of 2.7% to a decrease of 0.6%, resulting in a 2.9% decrease. Only two provinces have shown increases in terms of the contact related tanks, that is your Bopo and the TGRPN. The rest of the provinces, including your high volume provinces, have shown decreases, especially in Gauteng, which is 1.6% reduction from 35,846 to the current 35,301 charges. Western Cape also enjoyed the same benefit in terms of reduction from 30,071 incidences to the current 29,974, a 0.3% decrease. The types of contact crime are your ASEAN, and when you observe ASEAN, you observe that in the previous financial year, they decreased by 4.4%, that is a reduction of 4.4%. And what is also worth noting is that similar to contact crimes, these contact-related crimes also have a social dimension, in terms of the fact that most of these crimes happen between people who know each other, and in some instances involve revenge attacks, and in some instances they also involve instances or happen mostly over weekends when people have consumed alcohol. Provincial breakdown, we observe that all the nine provinces, with the exception of one, have decreased. That is, decreases were in every province generally, except in Limpopo. Of course, Limpopo, one needs to also take into consideration the issue of the Wuhan story. And what is also worth noting is that most of these assets sometimes happen during public violence or public unrest, etc., whereby we have already observed most of those in the previous financial year, which included your Peace Must Fall campaign, your Roads Must Fall campaign, whereby in some instances universities were burned down, and in some instances those damages resulting from the burning of those universities resulting in excess of millions of foreigners. Then my research damage to property, similarly it's the same phenomenon as it has been observed in Asher, and in most of the cases it also follows or manifest most of the time under the circumstances that manifest under unrest like your Asher. And we observe that this crime has also gone down by 0.6% when you compare to the previous financial year. In terms of the provincial breakdown, again we observe that only two provinces have recorded increases in terms of this crime. That is your Limpopo, 9.4%, because of the one issue that you all are familiar with. KZN has increased by 0.7%. However, significant decreases have been observed in the Gauteng, which is again one of the highest contributors in terms of this crime, reporting a reduction of 1.4% when compared to the previous financial year. And the Eastern Cape, which has also reduced by 4.7%, and the Western Cape by 0.2%. And the next category, which has also decreased based on the summary that we've observed, is the property related crimes, and again it covers whereby the objective of the crime itself is not necessarily in the person, but these are crimes committed against the property, but in some instances involve violence or the use of threat against the person. These are your burglary in non-residential premises, burglary at the residential, theft of motor vehicle and motorcycle, stop theft, and the others. Over the previous financial year, these property related crimes have decreased by 1.8%, and we also observed a decrease of 3% has been recorded since the sharp increase in the 12-18 financial year.
then the heads of property that the property related crimes, we observe that the burglary of non-residential premises has decreased by 0.9%. Burglary at that was non-residential. And at residential premises, it has decreased by 1.2%. Theft of motor vehicle and motorcycle has also decreased by 2.3%. Theft out of or motor vehicle has also decreased by 4.1%, reversing an increase that we have observed in the previous financial year of 1.1%. Similarly, stock theft has also decreased by 1%, also returning from the previous increase of 1% that has been observed in the previous financial year. In terms of the highlight of the property related crimes, only two provinces have recorded decreases. That is Limpopo and Northern Cape. The seven provinces have recorded decreases. Again, your highest contributors in your Gauteng and the Western Cape also enjoying the benefit of reducing these crimes in the previous financial year. Then, the only crime that has increased in the terms of the property related crime is the burglary at the non-residential premises, which has increased by 0.9% when compared to the previous financial year. And the increases have been observed in five of the nine provinces, and four of the nine provinces have also recorded decreases. Looking at the residential premises, have also shown a decrease of 1.2% when compared to the previous financial year, and over the 10-year period, the decrease has been 12% from 250,662 to 243,686. In terms of provincial breakdown, burglary at residential premises have gone down in all the nine provinces. That is the only province that has reported an increase in the Northern Cape. Gauteng, Western Cape, Eastern Cape, and KZN, which are your high volume provinces, have also recorded decreases in terms of this burglary at the residential premises. Then theft of motor vehicle, as I talked to when we talked to the carjacking, we've observed that in some instances when carjacking increases, theft of motor vehicle normally decreases. That is, there is that negative correlation in the direction of movement between the carjacking and the theft of motor vehicle and motorcycle. In the current financial year, we have observed 2.3% decrease when compared to the previous financial year. And in 50, over the 10 years, this crime has reduced by a further over 10%, I guess. The theft out of motor vehicle has also decreased by 4.1%. And the provincial breakdown shows that only two of the nine provinces have recorded increases in the current financial year. Gauteng, Western Cape, Eastern Cape, and KZN have also recorded decreases. These are being high volume station, high volume provinces. So first, in the current financial year, it has also gone down by 1%. When we compare to the previous financial year, and over the 10-year period, there's also marginal increase. The provincial breakdown that we observed is that it has increased in six of the nine provinces, that is your Gauteng, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, West, Northern Cape, and the Western Cape, and the three provinces that have recorded decreases, which are again your high volume provinces, being Eastern Cape, Eastern Cape, and according to species. Other sugar crimes has gone down by 4.1% and over the 10-year period it has increased by 10%. We observe that with the exception of commercial crime, the two other crimes making up other sugar crime have also gone down. Other health has gone down by 5.6%. Shop lifting has also gone down by 3.6%. Whereas commercial crime only increased by 3.1%. In terms of the official breakdown, only one province has shown an increase of 2.7%, that is in Limpopo, and the other eight provinces have recorded increases in terms of the other serious types. The types are your offer not mentioned elsewhere, which is a decrease by 5.6%. Provincial breakdown again shows that there's only increase in Limpopo. All the other eight provinces has shown a decrease. Commercial theft is the only one of the crimes that makes up other serious crimes that have shown an increase, and this might be related to issues related to fraud, money market, card cloning, and people who intercept money that is being deposited through other means, and also the increase of accessibility to internet and the ignorance of people who do internet banking without necessarily taking the necessary precautions. This crime seems to be on the increase, and it has increased in all the eight provinces, without them being the only province recording the decrease. So lifting, it is mostly dependent on the personnel who have been hired by the shops to police and make sure that crimes are not committed or things are not stolen from them. And in that instance, some of these security companies base their target on the number of people that have been arrested for shoplifting. And in some instances, they make assumptions which are not validated in arresting the people just to ensure that they increase in terms of arresting the people for their own performance. The only province that has shown an increase in shoplifting is Northeast State. The rest of the nine provinces have shown significant increases in terms of these other crimes. Then the last category, which covers the four crimes dependent on police action, that is those crimes that are detected usually when police implement corrective policing measures to curb the crime. And these crimes include your possession of firearms, drug-related, driving under influence of alcohol, and also sexual offenses detected as a result of police action. It is envisaged that an increase in these crimes will be, or detection in this crime will be envisaged in a positive light, because it is sometimes assumed that shows the proactiveness of the police. But these are instances you might not find that because the police have done so much work in keeping these crimes, there are no more people to be arrested because they no longer have guns that they can use in the commission of these crimes. So if you observe the 0.3% decrease that we have observed in the current financial year. Then when we break it down, we observe that the illegal possession of firearms decreased by 2.3%. Drug related by 2.9%, driving under the influence has increased by 11.1%, sexual offenses as a result of protection increased by 8%. Of the only provinces that has shown decreases, which is not really desirable in this instance, is the Eastern Cape, Gauteng, and the KZN, whereas the rest of the other provinces, six specifically, has shown increases, that is the Free State, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and the Northern Cape. Then this is a further breakdown in terms of the crimes that are detected as a result of police action, and I believe that I see some of them, the drug-related crimes have gone down. In terms of provincial breakdown, only three provinces have recorded decreases, whereas the other provinces have recorded increases. Driving under the influence of liquor, more people who have been drinking and temporarily that we arrested, increasing by 11.1%. And in terms of the provincial breakdown, 6 of the 9 provinces have also recorded increases in terms of this observed crime. Sexual offences detected as a result of police action has gone down by 8% when compared to the previous financial year. And the breakdown in terms of the provincial in the province shows that the Togo and Northwest have shown decreases in terms of this crime. And in spite of all these figures that we have seen in terms of the crime reduction, whereby we have observed that the four categories or the four broad categories of contact crimes, 3 of those categories have gone down. And all contact crimes, which is more of a social kind of a social aspect attached to it, is the only one that has increased. In spite of this and all this that we have observed, we have also experienced what we call other business, whole business migration issues. In terms of, we have over the years noticed that more and more protests are becoming rowdy, whereas those protests that are more peaceful are only decreasing. We observe that the decrease in the crowd of peaceful has decreased by almost 56%, and those that are crowd or unrest related have also increased by over 10%. And despite of all this, we have observed that in some instances, when people burn down the schools, members of the South African police services normally react in terms of being deployed. And these deployments divert them from the core business on which the police should be focusing on. And when we look in terms of the red and the green, in terms of this provincial distribution, you will notice that more and more of the provinces are experiencing those types of unrest that are of a more violent nature and necessitate that these more and more police be deployed to ensure that these crimes are not done. And I believe that concludes my presentation. But however, I would like to mention that accompanying this crime steps report or presentation, there is a report that is normally put on the website, which is in detail the research that has been done, and it also gives further breakdown in terms of who are the victims, how they committed the crimes, the use of alcohol was also pronounced, and the types of weapons that have been used to commit these crimes. And it also shows that these crimes, due to their nature of being contact-related or socially related, they also necessitate that, you know, a concerted effort from inter-provincial stakeholders ranging from the Department of Social Development and other role players within the integrated justice system need to be brought and put on board to ensure that we ameliorate or reduce the effect of these social crimes to ensure that every citizen in South Africa is and feels safe as being a proud citizen of our country. I will now hand over to General Mavi to take us through the strategic objective. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Honourable Chair, honourable members of the committee, the few slides that I was going to highlight the strategic approach implemented by the South African Police Service with specific reference to the second half of the previous financial year after the appointment of the Acting National Commissioner. Now, as far as the strategic approach of the South African Police Service is concerned, the development of the current strategy that we are putting in place is informed by the National Development Plan that was put in place by government. In terms of our approach at the moment is that we would like to align the strategic and operational approach of the South African Police Service with the objective that has been identified in the National Development Plan. First of all, the National Development Plan highlights the fact that personal safety is basically a prerequisite for the country to develop and to ensure that we have enhanced productivity, etc. It also refers to the Vision 2050, where it indicates that we would be working towards a situation where we create a country where people feel safe at home, where people are able to walk freely in the streets. We also refer to the fact that we want to establish a South African police service that is well resourced, that is professional, and that is installed behind skilled officers. So ultimately, this is where we're going with the kind of strategy that's implemented by the South African police service. And we would like to include these objectives of the National Development Plan in the strategy of SAPS as well. Now, when we started with the development of the strategy, current strategy of SAPS, it was important for us to analyze the current situation to determine what exactly was the state of affairs at that specific time, what the specific areas where we found problems, what the strategies and operations we had to review, and we identified three key areas to focus on. Now, if you look at the little pyramid on the screen there, you will know that central to everything is the objective to create a safe and secure environment. We focused on three different areas. The first one is the internal functioning of SAPS, where we said we had to come look at the way we conduct business, the current policies, the procedures, the methods that are being applied by the South African Police Service. So there was an internal focus, and then secondly, we identified two core operational areas that we need to attend to. The first one is the prevention of crime, and the second one refers to the investigation of crime. Now, the focus of the analysis of the South African Police Service at that time was on the strategies and the operational approach that was in place at the time to determine whether it was viable, whether it had the necessary impact, and whether we were able to achieve targeted results. Now, when we conducted the in-depth analysis into the performance of that with specific reference to these three areas, we identified that there is areas of persistent underperformance. Now, the areas of persistent underperformance that we've identified are related to all three dimensions. It related to the way we conducted business in SAPS, it related to our efforts to address or prevent crime, and also to investigate crime. Now, as a result of that, the National Commissioner initiated the consultation process of management and members on all organizational levels to develop and implement a relevant and viable solution. So the National Commissioner in person visited all 9 provinces, and the purpose of those visits was first of all to communicate with members the problems that we were facing as an organization, and at the same time to get the evidence or to get the inputs on how and we should address the situation and how we should develop and implement our strategic and operational approach. Now, looking at the approach implemented by the South African Police Service in the latter part of the previous financial year, you will note that there are two issues or two elements are listed there. First of all, there was an active basis approach, and that active basis approach was supported by a management intervention mechanism. So basically what we had is a strategic approach on the one hand, supported by a mechanism to implement a strategic approach. Now, the active basics approach, a number of people are asking us, you know, exactly what do we mean with back to basics, and it's very simple. It's about doing the right things right. As an organization, and as South African Police Service, at the time we had to sit down and determine what exactly are we supposed to do, what are the targeted results that have been set for the organization, and then to make sure we align our operational and strategic procedures according to that. Now, just highlighting the back to basics approach and the method that we followed at the time, during visits and the interaction and engagement with all our management and entities at all organizational levels, we focused on two primary issues. The first issue was prevention of crime, the second one investigation of crime, and what I'm not going to highlight specifically in this presentation is some internal issues that we also focused on. But when it comes to the prevention of crime, the following issues were highlighted that South African Police Service needs to attend to if we want to be successful in the fight against crime. The first issue relates to partnership policing, emphasizing the value of communities and what role they play in the fight against crime. So we have to make sure that throughout the organization, our members are aware of the fact that we as South African Police Service can only be successful in the fight against crime if we have the necessary support from our communities and our stakeholders. We also attended to an issue that when we asked the question about why are we not successful in terms of implementing certain strategies, continuous reference was made to the fact that we had a problem with command and control in the South African police service. Now, the interesting part about command and control is that we as management are actually in control of that. So we have re-emphasized the fact that as an organization, we have to ensure that we have proper command and control at all organizational levels. So during these visits and engagement with management, we also focus on that to establish the basic principles once again that relates to command and control. Thirdly, crime awareness. For people to assist and to fight crime effectively, we need to understand crime. We need to understand where and when it happens. We need to understand what the specific threats are. But it's not only important for the South African Police Service, it's also important that we share that information with our communities to make them aware that they understand what efforts we are implementing and how they can support us in those efforts. We also focused on increased police visibility. At the time there was deployments, as you will know, this included the latter part of last year, included the festive season, where there was increased deployment at our identified hotspots in the country. We also, for example, deployed students that were under training at that specific stage to utilize them, for instance, in shopping malls, where they can be deployed and assist in our crime prevention operations. The aim of the increasing police visibility is that people understand and feel that the South African Police Service is there. They need to be aware of the presence of the South African Police Service, see our members in blue, and experience the presence of the South African Police Service as far as that is concerned. The last issue that we focused on during the approach was our intelligence-based operations. We constantly refer to the fact that when we look at the South African Police Service, the valuable resources that we have, the humans, the people that are fighting crime, we have the resources, the vehicles, etc. But something I personally think that we neglect from time to time is the fact that we should add more value to intelligence, because the South African Police Service as an organization cannot be successful without intelligence. Our actions are actually driven by intelligence. So we have to sensitize the members from at the lowest level again that we need to have proper intelligence structures in place. Gathering crime intelligence and processing crime intelligence is not only the responsibility of crime intelligence, it's actually the responsibility of every single police official. So we have to go through processes to make sure that our members understand that. Moving to the investigation of crime, the critical elements or key elements that we've identified to focus on was first of all crime scene manager. I have to make sure, because that's specifically the place where the crime took place is the most important part of the total investigation. We have to make sure that we investigate our crime scenes properly, that we secure our crime scenes, because that's where we gather the initial intelligence. And if you fail in respect of securing your crime scene in the first place, that's got major consequences in the rest of the investigation. We also did the analysis of the age of rockets that's currently in the storerooms of the South African Police Service. And so the easy approach would have been at that time to say, from now on we are going to make sure that all crime reported in the country will be properly effectively investigated. But we did not do that approach. What we said is, let's do an analysis of all open cases in the South African Police Service that are currently still under investigation. We went back down the latest or the earliest or the oldest case that we've identified dated back to 1976. So we had to go through a process to say, how do we ensure that these so-called old cases are properly investigated? Because what it's all about is people have reported crime and they're waiting for answers. So we had to make sure that we have proper mechanisms in place to investigate and close these cases that have been outstanding for such a long time. And going forward, making sure that we don't have to repeat the same type of mistakes again, that all crimes are properly investigated and that we give constant feedback to the victims of crime. Also look at the issue of performance and accountability. For us as the South African Police Service to move forward, we need to understand where we are going. We need to understand what the targets are, what exactly needs to be achieved. So we have established accounting mechanisms in the South African Police Service where we now on a quarterly basis get more constructive feedback on the progress that we are making at the areas that we are playing. We
also looked at the tracing of wanted suspects, the list that we have available, how do we manage that effectively, how do we share information on wanted suspects so that we can trace these people at least more easily. Last, utilization of forensic leads. I think we have one of the best forensic science capabilities in the world, but we found during our analysis that we are not optimally utilizing that capability. So part of the initial intervention was to make sure that we properly use the mechanisms that we have available as far as forensics are concerned, that we use the DNA leads forensic intelligence to trace our suspects. And since we've initiated that, we've seen significant improvement in the utilization of forensic leads. Now, this total approach was supported by a management intervention mechanism. Now, the change in the approach of the South African police service in the time, or at that time, was actually very simple. We have experienced what I would like to refer to as assessment fatigue in SAPS. We've gone through an exercise over the last couple of years where we constantly assess progress made in the organization. There's constant audits, there's constant inspections, etc. But we did not have a proper approach to fixing the problems that we've identified. So that is where the management intervention concept was born. And it's basically very simple. Assess and fix the problem. It's not only about constantly assessing, but to put something in place that will ensure that we solve the problems that we identified in the organization. So in the latter part of last year, there were 63 police stations that were identified as priority stations for the initial initiation of the project. Those stations were identified based on crime, high crime and low detective performance. There was engagement with provincial and cluster and station management as far as that specific problematic stations are concerned. And we also at the time established three intervention teams that went out to these specific stations to intervene and assess and assist and empower those stations to start looking at the problems and also fix the problems that we've identified. The intervention at the time included, you know, proper consultation with management, the establishment of the basic command and control principles, applying, for instance, your parades, etc., making sure that proper our personnel are properly prepared when they go into the operational environment. It also included an assessment of infrastructure and resources to see what type of infrastructure we had available, what type of resources we had available in terms of operational resources, bulletproof firearms, as well as vehicles. We also at the time initiated two recovery plans that focused on these two problematic areas, the detective service environment and or the investigation of crime and prevention of crime. Now, currently those intervention plans or recovery plans are being constantly monitored in terms of the monitoring mechanisms that we've established. And we also use this approach as the building block or the foundation for the establishment of a more formal back-to-basics approach. It needs to be mentioned that this project approach to solving the problems and going back to basics within SACS. Initially, it was dealt with in the initial stages by means of a project team that was led by Gwena at the time, the three dedicated teams. But since, or from the 1st of April 2016, this has now become a formal structure of part of the formal structure of the South African Police Service. And we now have a Deputy National Commissioner that is directly or responsible for the management intervention approach of the South African Police Service, that is Ferdinand Kruger. So, closing remarks is where we landed at the end of the financial year and formalizing the back-to-basics approach that was initiated by the Minister of the Acting National Commissioner and Management of SACS. We introduced the back-to-basics approach. And what does back-to-basics mean? It is we want to ensure a situation where every single member of the South African Police Service revert back to our established regulatory framework, or as we can put it very simply, it's the basics of policing right, we must do it properly, and we need to do it consistently. So you will know that there are six areas that we've identified that the South African Police Service will focus on as far as this approach is concerned. First of all, looking at enhanced visible policing. Painting the town blue, making sure that our communities are aware of the presence of the South African Police Service, that they experience that presence, that they see in terms of our deployments in uniform, as well as our vehicles and patrols, etc. Thorough and responsible investigation of every single crime, we give constant feedback to our victims of crime, and making sure that every single crime that is reported to SAPS is properly investigated and proper feedback is given. The effective utilization of resources in the investigation of crime. We're going to focus on what the resources that we have, or is it for instance your forensic science, to make sure that those capabilities that we have, that we optimally utilize it. Strengthening our crime intelligence in support of proactive and reactive policing, making sure that we have detailed information available on crime threats and crime patterns so that we can deploy our resources accordingly. You will also note the next one that talks to the targeted informed deployment of resources. We will have to understand that the South African Police Service will never have sufficient police service or personnel to put a police official at every street corner. For that reason, we need to understand what the threat is, and we need to deploy according to that threat. So we have to have a strategy in place that is responsive to our police demand. And then lastly, but I think most important, is our collaborative consultative approach to policing, where both our communities and government and all the departments understand that we all have to play a role in the fight against crime. That policing in its own is not the sole responsibility of the South African Police Service. We need to get our stakeholders on board. We need people to understand how they can assist the South African Police Service in this fight against crime, what type of role they can play, and what their responsibilities are. As part of that, we already initiated consultation and engagement with community groups, the farming community, with business, so that we all understand what, as I indicated, what the role is and what we can do in this regard. Now, there are three transversal issues that cuts across these three or the six areas that we've identified. Now, in executing those six responsibilities, we need to ensure the following. Number one, that we are disciplined, professional, and the police service that acts with integrity. Wherever our police members are, whether they're gathering intelligence, whether they're fighting crime, whether they investigate crime, that they act with integrity, that they act disciplined, and that they act professional. We also look at the demilitarization of the South African Police Service. It's important to note that demilitarization is not talking to only taking the ranks away. That's not demilitarizing steps. It's more than that, but we are now proactively and constructively involved in that process to demilitarize and transform the South African Police Service. Secondly, uncompromising compliance with the fundamental principles of policing. In specifics, doing the right things right. Now, unfortunately, it's also possible to do the wrong things right. So we have to understand exactly what is expected and how we need to act and then do that properly. And then lastly, to establish a culture of performance management and accountability, where we on a regular basis do stop taking on where we are, what we are supposed to do, and when we're not achieving the target, to initiate collective action. And we believe if we implement this very basic approach to policing, we are not watering down the police responsibility. Sometimes we need to understand that policing in itself is a very simple but also a very complex science. So we need to understand where we're going with policing in South Africa, but we need to have a plan. And that's where the back to basics approach comes in. And we believe by implementing this, we will reduce the levels of serious crime and will ultimately create a country where people will feel and are safe. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Gerald. Any further comments from the Minister of the National Security?
Chair, let me just make some remarks to allow the minister to conclude all our show. I happen to have read an article that I found very interesting and at times with confusion. It really, South Africa needs more social workers, not cops, more police to keep a disconnected population. And not for the soil is a recipe for disaster. Then just tonight, the Marikana massacre was a result of a police system that has no tenets in any significant way since then. The police cannot indefinitely debate on every angry community protest. Militarization may be the second biggest mistake ever made in modern South African politics. The first thing, the police defended specialized units that then with specific issues. You can't put domestic violence with guns. Now, say when I read this article, I'm asking myself, what is it that the social workers are going to do to bring down the counter crime that we are talking of? These crimes are being committed by people who are wielding illegal firearms. And as the South African Police Service, we do our best to bring these crime levels down to ensure that the service social workers are able to do their work in our communities. Policing remains a thankless job, despite the efforts that we're putting in to police our society. We continue to be inherited with observations, and I'll call them armchair observations like this. On Sunday, we'll be commemorating, it's a commemoration day for those of us who were not able to finish the race. They unfortunately died in the execution of their policing duties. But despite all this, we remain committed, we remain loyal to the people of this country, we will continue doing our work. What is put before this honorable committee is evidence of men and women in blue who went an extra mile in realizing the mandate that is enshrined in the constitution of our country. And we are not about to be distracted from that. We believe that there's a role to play towards that vision 2030. Thank you.
Thank you. Minister?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, President, one of the members. Maybe just a few things. The last portion of our presentation, the straightforward kind of the experiences that we have gone through as a SAPS, for instance, that we need to build on. All our members of the member presidents, one is a different case. But we deployed in a particular manner, for example, that told us that the question of police visibility and the question of patrols and so forth does yield results. And one of the results relating to one experience is that almost everybody in this country had been saying before elections that one was not going to go to elections and one was going to be around and so on, precisely because of the incidents that took place. So that's one particular case that we are also studying further and unpacking in terms of what are the future sort of levels for all of us in the police service. And before then was the manner in which we also dealt with deployments over the service system. We began to get a feedback right across the board in the African spectrum, within the African society, that people felt safe precisely because of police visibility and so on. So that's one pivotal area that we're going to build on. Now, and clearly this particular report largely suggests that on all areas where we deploy conventional means of policing, for example, via registration, progress and success, even in areas where we have not registered the sort of decreases as or minuses on the imported level, but we are beginning to see a decrease in trend in one form or the other. So the only problem area is the issue of conduct crime in this country. Now, and that requires an effort far broader than just simply the police service itself. But it requires that we need to begin to engage the overall social outlook of the South African society, for example, in terms of dealing with patterns of social behavior and so forth, so that we begin to dampen that approach. May have got to begin to dampen the question of the murder rate, attempted rape, and assault, EGPH, for instance, as contributing factors, for an example. And a myriad of other interventions, for an example, that also must be made at the political level and also socially speaking in our society. But we find this part of statistics quite interesting. But as General Sikukune said, we have conducted our own research. And it's beginning to tell us quite a number of the issues that are going to be looked into. Because behind the figures, the statistics concerns the human lines, but also a particular person of behavior and so forth. And that's what they looked into. And that's why I was saying earlier on that later on this afternoon, in the public engagement, I will also be going through what
that we as a committee will look at, and of course we have engaged on that also during this year. Maybe a couple of questions on my side, and then I'll go to the first row for ministers' input and as well as contributions. Maybe just in terms of the methodology, the SASWAP assessments, when do you envisage that SAPS will be at the level to ensure that we can start the full independent assessment? And just on the issue of underreporting, because a lot of research is saying in terms of sexual violence, the underreporting. What's your sense of that in terms of the categories of crime? Then a very interesting trend in the presentation is that there is migration of crime. When you're successful, for instance, in dealing with motor vehicle theft, but migrate to hijacking. Now, what's the, and I think the two gentlemen also spoke about that, how do we respond to the migration trends? For instance, we've seen in the recent past a lot of gang-related killings and firearms. Of course, there is now the plans to establish the firearms unit with DPCI as well as the issue of drug enforcement agency. But I just want to get a sense from the National Commissioner. In responding to this migration trend, when you're successful in one area, it's interesting also some of the provinces, some of the rural provinces are now targeted, some of the time where there's decline in the urban areas. How do you respond to that? I just want to get a sense of that. Let's go to Honourable Abadji.
Two questions from me. General Rabi, I'm very excited about what idea of the command and control that is in place, which has been an issue for quite some time. I'm very excited about it. But my question here on the second one is, when you speak of cases as old as 1976, can you clarify as to what happens there? Because what I know is, if a case is open, a complainant might regularly get updates. Are you saying a complainant in this case is getting regular updates from 1936?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Thank you, first of all, thank and welcome the presentation that was made. But allow me to congratulate SAPS on the fantastic manner in which you reached at the local government election. And let me add that you did this with no additional budget. So it means you don't always need money to perform or deliver. So I do congratulate you on that. Having said that, it appears that the back to basics approach that you have now taken seems to be yielding some results. And I would welcome your plan to assess and fix and find solutions. And I think I'm agreeing with what the minister says, that the problem that we are faced is not just with SAPS or the police department. There needs to be a coordinated program between all the relevant departments. So could you tell me if there is a plan between the SAPS and social development, basic education, and all the relevant departments to fight it from a broader spectrum? Because I can tell you we'll never win this war on crime if we're going to go out there after tax. We need, and I think the principle is to prevent crime. And this is aggravated by the fact that social conditions and socioeconomic conditions that are people know, their use of alcohol, drugs, and things like that. So if there's a plan in terms of doing something about that. My only concern is that there appears not to be too much of emphasis on the drug and the gang-related violence. And you know we have a very, very high murder rate in the world. And I think I have a lot of this. You know, I was the other day in an area called Lavender Hill. And when I was speaking to the people, I said, no, sir, please come inside. It's too dangerous. You can't stand. People are living in fear all the time. They can't even go outside because of the drive-by shootings and things like that. I think you've identified the serious challenges we have in terms of alcohol seems to be playing a role in most of the crimes that are committed. But whilst you're fighting that, the issuing of licenses, issue beans and things in all the areas just continue unabated. That is why, you know, question is, what are you going to do about trying to prevent this and shutting down those illegal shebeens? And I would understand here that there should be a responsibility to shebeens as to how much you sell to an individual that comes in there and consumes alcohol for the purposes of profits. You continue giving him more and more and more, and he gets out there coming to war. And a lot of these crimes seem to be committed as against. Now, the other problem is car hijacking. And we see how it's moving, and I think my chair has just alluded to that, they are moving from one environment to the other. Again, the problem with car hijacking is the car is hijacked in more cases than not by order. Somebody decides that we will have once a Golf 5 or a Golf 6 in order that the vehicle has been hijacking. And if you could recall that one incident in Masquerade in Durban, where a lady was hijacked, and when the hijacker called his contact and found that the color of the car was wrong, he left the car, left and ran away. But remember, this is aggravated by the fact that there's a problem in the borders in terms of vehicles that are going on. There's a problem in licensing departments. There are problems in the so-called motor vehicle scrapyard because it is so easy to get a vehicle for 2,000, 5,000, or change the numbers and drive it legally. So I'd like to know what is the one. Change the decision or could I fix it off? Okay, all right. Okay. The other thing is that Honourable Minister, there was a department presentation the other day, and we find we have a very high education rate. And also, there is about 20% of our employees at any given time are almost on that stage of retirement and things like that. Now, with the high vacancy rate and all the efforts you're putting, my fear is this, that you are limited to success in doing that. Is there going to be a plan? And remember, when you're losing them, you're losing people with skills, with expertise, with knowledge, and a lot of experience, because he's obviously coming to retirement. Is there a plan to start training them from a younger age? And I spoke to you on passion, all the policing, like in nursing and this, whether we could start at some stage of reducing at the school level, so that when you get them out, they're coming up with so much of knowledge together with the practical experience, they can really come out there and actually perform. So let me stop there for now.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me first ask with a positive. I want to say that I think it's the first time that I experienced from the police services, as also from the Honourable Minister, an attitude of releasing the crime statistics in such a way to say that we're not trying our best to hide something for the public. Because I must be honest, in previous presentations of crime statistics, we actually always heard that it's not so bad in South Africa when it comes to the crime statistics. So, firstly, on a positive note. Secondly, Chairperson, I want to say that I'm now completely convinced if you want government to listen to you, you have to say the same thing about 10 years. Then they start listening to you. Because for the last 10 years, I've asked for quarterly reports on crime statistics, so the Freedom Front has really welcomed the decision from Cabinet that at least after 10 years they understand what I've asked for, so that we will get the quarterly reports. Although I must say that the first quarter of 2016-2017 already passed, and I'm talking they could see the report. Now, I think if we look at the statistics, we have broad categories, and as a committee, we will also have to go and sit down to more define the categories of crime statistics we need to get a real picture of crime in South Africa. Firstly, on that note, person, I also want to say there is an improvement of the 10 years. The acting commissioner undertook that now before we started. He will give us today the crime statistics on farm owners and farmer taxi hazards. Although it's not included, I will really ask that we include that. I've asked that since 2007, and I accept between the Honourable Minister, the letters I wrote him, and the Acting Commissioner, at least you also get those crime statistics. Chairperson, for instance, if you at murder, for the last 4 years, 85,268 people in South Africa were murdered. To give a perspective on that, it's about a medium-sized town in a rural area, wiped out in the last 4 years because of murder. But if we look, for instance, at assault at gross bodily harm, over the past 5 years, we had 1,325,761 cases. That tells me that South Africa, that we are a violent country. And if I say that, I think that I must emphasize the fact that the responsibility of fighting crime is not only the trust of the South African police services. Each and every individual in South Africa has a responsibility. And I think if we refer to social workers, chairperson, I think South Africa as a country will have to go and look in its own communities to start creating respect for each other again. Because if we have little respect for each other, we will also have less crime in South Africa, and there, that is where they should play a role. If I can come up to the broad categories, Jefferson, for instance, we've got the category robbery aggravated, and there was an increase of 2.7%, and then we have the true crimes. If you look at the numbers, we see that when it comes to robbery aggravated, and you put the true crimes there of 55,120, there are still 77,407 cases of robbery where we don't know where it happened. Or the robbery on the street. So that's why I also say that we will have to define in a more narrow way the categories when we talk, for instance, of robbery. That is important so that we can understand. Do we have more robberies on street level? Do we have more robberies in residential premises? The most feared crime in South Africa, and unfortunately there was an increase again on that. Carjacking 14.3%, murder a 4.9% increase. That tells us, Jefferson, that the crime situation in South Africa is a very serious problem for the society. And let's be honest with each other. There is a new approach. I think the Back to Basics program, unfortunately I differ from my colleague here, I don't think it has kicked in fully yet. The commissioner only started acting in October. So it's last financial year statistics. So there is in certain areas some progress, but we will have to look seriously at the violent crime in South Africa. And a thorough study of the how we're going to curb it. I know there are some people who say get more people to join the South African police services. I want to put it on record again, Chairperson. I differ from that approach. I think we need more well-trained police officers or police members so that what we have we can use effectively. So finally, Chairperson, I'd like to ask the Commissioner if we get the statistics on the farmers as well as the bomb attacks. Thank you.
Thanks. I know that honourable two members who asked questions lately on, you know, this oldest Indian, I think it's a theory, but let's keep questions short.
Should I ask the other questions now, Jesus?
Honourable Mula.
Thank you, Jacqueline, and thank you, Brad, for your presentation. My questions were asked by Honourable Sheikh Imam, but I want to stress in the visibility of police at station level, because when you see this robbery at residential premises, the police are not visible, because you only find that there was a town in Hingos, 10 houses were robbed. When we went to the station, they only had two police waking at night. So I'm asking for that visibility of police. And the other one, you keep on mentioning the use of alcohol. What did you do about that? Because this murder is increased because of high alcohol and the hijackings. What is the work of the, what is this police that are patrolling at the highways? Flying squad, because our cars were robbed at in the provincial room where the high squad must be, the high squad must be waiting there. We look if do something with that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Rabbi Katani.
Well, thank you, Honourable Chair, and maybe also thank the Minister and the Police Management General for the report. And also the other member of police, family that are not here. I think they must continuously receive the message, a positive message from Parliament, from us, the committee, that we really appreciate the work they do. The policing work always is a thankless job, but that we in Parliament recognize that there is a lot of work that is being done, that at night, when we sleep at night, we feel a bit safe because we know there's some disability and there's a buggy or a van that drives around our street. For that, I think we must, as members in South Africa, continuously say we're indebted to the police and we thank for the thankless job they do. Chair, just I assume that this is not the annual report process, so we're going to get into that, so I'm not going to go into any detail. Except to say, Chair, I just want to find out from the National Commissioner the work that is done by partnership or partnership with the infrastructure that we have, the police forum and so on, in terms of dealing with the matter of social crime, in terms of projects and program. Is that really producing results, or is it upscale or enough to be able to make a dent? You're talking about the social crime as a one that is stubborn, you all understand that. But for it to be addressed and for it to be minimized, you will have to build that partnership. I didn't hear anybody introducing and saying that there's a chairperson of the community police forum is present today, also to be part of the people who are saying we have done something together. I think it's something that concerns me, if you ask us. I think that all the time, that partnership between the police and communities represented by the police forum is critical. And we must always project it to be the one that works. Just two issues. Only, you mentioned that 65.9% of crime is basically two categories that you talked about, the issue about the contact and the social or property. But I just want to find out, Commissioner, in terms of your collective basis, that having identified that as the cause of the problem, it begins to shift your strategy in terms of dealing with that particular volume to bring down that particular volume in order to bring down crime. Even going back to basic, beginning to buy on that. The third, second one is the stubbornness in six provinces. That there's a pattern that grows if you look at your presentation. And for some of the provinces that are the Popo, Kumalanga, you would ordinarily, not necessarily, expect them to go down or up the road going up. And I had in the presentation about Buani, maybe Buani, but this is a bit before Buani. I just want to understand, is this trend in the back in this province, particularly around the issues that becomes, because if you don't nip it in the bud, you'll continue to challenge to your national future. And I see the province with the Western Cape police is also here. I just want to have a sense that in those six provinces where you have a little pattern, is the going back to basics beginning to change that particular picture in terms of the resource, both human resources as well as material resources? Some of the areas we say is less of human or whole bodies as a result of this. So I just want to get a sense from you in terms of that. And I want to say, Chair, that there are lots of good news in your report, and I think we should say so. That if we take a 10-year view, there is a good work that has been done and a positive result. But that does not necessarily mean that Chair must say that much has been achieved or much more still has been done. But I think we need to record that. That 10-year picture shows a wide part of good work that has been done and downward trend. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, our ministry is just for a 6-minute break. Then we'll come back to almost always next one. A 6-minute break, and then come back. Thank you.
No, we stay socially distanced. So they come in the future. If you put something in, I'll back it. I'll immediately be like, oh, that's awesome. And then you'll be.
Because without stability in the rural areas, and people in the rural areas living a neglected life, they will migrate to the urban areas seeking for greener pastures and order, and will begin to create havoc. However, when it comes to murder crimes, though it's not emphatically stated as a sectoral reporting, one finds it very much a political responsibility which remains one thing which I think the minister at an interministerial level or cabinet level will take it very seriously. If you consider, for example, acts of violence and gruesome murders that are taking place, particularly within the taxi industry, which is a highly unregulated sector, yet so much important, particularly to the livelihood of our majority of people of this country. And I think we will find a solution because, as I said even in one of the meetings to say, to me it's very much worrying that such an important organ of transport will remain highly unregulated and in the IDP seemingly not being taken on board, yet business profited from their own efforts of transporting commuters from time to time and find themselves a loggerhead being compelled by material conditions that are preset before them by developments that catch them with their fence down, thus then bringing them into collision. And I think, Mr. Honorable Minister, it is a complete neglect of the lives of our people, even only if we cannot actually then put a mechanism in place to say if every IDP, that municipality is embarked upon, they must take this particular setup on board so that agreements can be reached prior to any explosion of a gunfight between our people. Because it actually then causes a lot of mayhem. I know. I personally lost a man who was very, 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 very wise, and I think General Judah was still there in case that Mr. Tushini, very, very brilliant man, man of death, killed him in cold blood, simply because of this particular thing, which one cannot attribute to as just a failure of police.
Honorable, sorry, just time.
I was not highlighting that because to me it's a person is very much important. I think I will end by saying thank you so much, Acting National Commissioner, for such a well-designed, well-thought step, which I think it will help us go a long way in ensuring that we shape our policy in our country. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable. Let me just give the time issue. Honorable Bailey.
Thank you very much, Chair. I will certainly keep it concise. Just very briefly in opening is to say that I think City Corner is talking about the committee does grant its partner in a curious situation wherein we can't put too much blame or a causal link between the current police management system for us and the crime stats that we've been created with. Because the tenure of the Acting Commissioner does not quite be linked to these stats. We're looking at stats for a financial year in which he was not in his position mostly, as well as his cumulative outcome of at least a decade of systemic dysfunction and chronic mismanagement. So I'm reluctant to have the commissioner and his team for the figures, but there is an objective assessment that needs to be made. And I think if I was to summarize in one word what my position interpretation of the figures is that they're somewhat underwhelming, Chair, for obvious reasons, increases in murder and violent crimes, and if you look at some crime categories, we've actually been stagnant over the last 10-year period. But if I can break down, Chair, and these are my two questions. My first question is, if you look at the murder, the attempted murder, and the robbery aggravated, they all have the same 10-year end profile. So they've got this V shape, where for the first 5 years, they were dropping since 2006-07. And then in the last 5 years, there's been an increase. And it's quite curious to see this little drop and then this increase. weigh in with the raw figures, we're actually at a square one, if you compare it across that period. So I would like to ask from the Action Commissioner if they've got a sense of what this is about, what do you attribute this to? What seems to work well initially that we saw that drop, and where were the ball dropped that we're now seeing the increase in those figures, and in particular what's to be done to arrest that? And then my second question is in relation to trio crime and non-residential burglary, where we've seen that same stagnation. Carjacking, for example, it was 14,855 and 20,067, and the last financial year was 14,602. So same snapshots. And for me, in particular, with those kind of categories, that speaks to shortcomings in crime intelligence, because that's all syndicate driven. So my question there, Chair, in particular, is what's going to be done in more clarity and detail than was outlined by General Robbie to fix crime intelligence? That really is the mechanism we need to be in shape to recreate the lack of syndicate crime. And therefore see the drops in trio crime and in anti-burglary. Other pleasure.
Thank you, Honourable Bailey. Honourable Reasoners.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Two very specific questions. When do we envision the quarterly crime stats to become available, whether we can get a practical sense of that? And then, specifically, whether we will ever be in a position or we're working towards the point where we will find or receive disaggregated statistics for sexual offences. I mean, I think if it's possible to highlight truck hijackings and bank robberies, then it should also be possible for us to highlight rape, sexual assault, and very specific incidents so that we know where the intervention needs to take place. And this is not just a recommendation from my side or from anyone who is being on this committee, but the UN Human Rights Committee in a recent report or review about the South African policing and human rights put this as one of the things that's needed to happen so that we can have more specific targeted intervention. Thank you.
Other move, as we go forward.
I just want to congratulate the men and women in blue for the good work they do. I want to make two main points here. One is, I agree with the disability, but I think they also need to try the invisibility. And I think that when you see, particularly in a town situation, when you see a policeman, all you do is stop committing a crime, and when the policeman has passed, tend to commit a crime. And if you have got people, members of police who are not in uniform, but who just move around amongst the people, they actually see what is happening on the spot. And they are able to give better evidence rather than the investigation that comes later if they are around. And they may also prevent it from happening. The other thing that I wanted to check to highlight is there seems to be more collaboration on the city, particularly with good respect to white areas. It used to be like that, but I'm not sure if there's too much of a shift from that area. And the rural people are actually on the receiving end. They only pass one van that is supposed to police something like 50 kilometers the area, and they also maybe I would like the general to please consider this. There are certain police stations that are like that. I can quote. For example, one in Kondo, the area, and there are no vans there. I can also another one in Bada, question would be the FOPO. FOPO is the only problem that I see.
Just a microphone, I will mount it.
Everything seems to be going up when I'm FOPO where I come. It's only not taking bank robbers, butlery, residency, and such as one time. Everything else is going up. But the problem is with Limpopo. If I could guess that. The second question would be slide number 59 and a conjunction with slide number 71. And in 59 it shows a decrease of 7.3% in stock price. But you go to 71, it doesn't seem to tally according to my understanding. Most everything has gone up a year only for three provinces. And in 59 it shows, I don't know, maybe it's because of the numbers in terms of average in the whole thing, but as I look at it, even if you average it, it will still show that just gone up. Thank you for this.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. That's the question for this round. Over to the Minister as well as the National Commissioner. I'll come back to you, Honorable Minister. Minister, any responses from your side?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. Just very briefly, in relation to some of the matters that have been raised by honourable members here. Honourable members raised the question of the docket age analysis, the question of feedback and so forth. The work that we did there, it's a very interesting piece of work, really, because it took us all the way back, but also identified a number of shortcomings insofar as the text of work is concerned, and the backlog of issues and so forth. In fact, if you were to look at our annual report, you see the previous year's annual report, you see that in fact the detective function has been underperforming for quite some time. But the recent reports are beginning to show, in fact, we appeared before the SOP, I think Commissioner, what is the SOP, with the reports that began to show that we began to register serious sort of progress around the question of the function of the detectives and so on. So that's because of the interventions that we make. So I would also like the chair to ask that at some point we be asked to present a similar kind of report about detective units and this docket age analysis that we've done and see what kind of progress we're beginning to make. And so we'd be more than happy to share that at a later stage with the portfolio committee. Now, the question of Honourable Sheikh Imam, I nearly called you saying, I don't know why. I commit that mistake, my apologies. Honourable Sheikh Imam, the question of whether or not there's a plan and a coordinated program, it's also a matter that is receiving attention under the auspices of the criminal justice cluster. To look at how do we beef up our coordinated mechanisms to begin to address some of these international partners, for example. And this also would include, amongst others, your concerns around the question of drug abuse and alcohol-related matters. But I do want to venture to say that, you know, that's also another societal problem. In fact, from ourselves, yourselves as political leaders for the sense of society, the question of drug abuse and alcohol abuse should be seen as an ideological challenge in our society. Not just necessarily a policy matter that must simply be resolved. The reason why I don't drink, for example, is not because it was a policeman who told me not to drink. And the reason why I don't take cocaine in my breath is the same. But it's precisely because of how I was brought up you know, parenting sort of stages, but also the community level as well. And I think those are the social foundations that we need to revisit and go back to. How we begin to teach our people that it is never cool to intoxicate yourself. And that it is counterproductive to have young people who are drunk all the time. You can't have a society that works on the basis of that, and it can't develop at all. So it's a social consciousness kind of matter that we should also be driving. While, yes, there are these regulatory interventions that have got to be made, which are somewhat complex in a sense. You have situations where, even if you take, let's take a case of Malawi, it's an example that I like making. It's one particular township in the Eastern Cape, 535 adults. Yeah? It's just that township alone. Now, that indicates a particular problem. Both at the level of the, you know, licensing and any other thing in terms of how that particular, you know, area is being sort of coordinated and handled. And I think those are challenges that we must, all of us in government, begin to, and society as a whole, begin to deal with. Now, you also raise the question of hijacking, which is a problem. The one thing that we can share with you is that in the research work that we did, the major contributory factor around hijacking is in the Northern Cape. You had a vehicles belonging to the British American Tobacco being the target. It was almost exclusively hijacking in the Northern Cape about British American Tobacco. So the target is the cargo that they carry. So that's identifying the problem, and therefore for us the challenge would be how do we begin to deal with that particular problem as well in terms of stemming the tide against the strategy activities of the hijacking and so forth. Honorable Cronenberg, thank you very much for your comments as well. I, for some reason, I like what you say, and I generally don't agree with you, and I think you know this. But I like the point that you're making. Let me start with the easiest one. This is not your quarterly report. This is your annual report. Quarterly reporting will begin, of course, in the next sort of cycle. And the decision that has been taken by cabinet is that yes, we do quarterly reporting as part of our challenges as a person is also complying with the framework of government reporting. But that's on an annual basis. We shall then have the the annual report as well in it, dealing with it now. And the reason why basically we did not have quarterly reporting, it had nothing to do with whether you shouted the government or didn't shout the government and so forth and for the past years. It was more to do with the systemic problem we were developing and had to implement a cash system, for instance. It was we need to have a system that catches information on an ongoing basis and it must be accurate. So, and that's what she was holding us back. Now that we have the system up and running, so we're fine. So if you have any reporting, and I think you are it, isn't it? Okay, good. but the point that I made that you raised, which is quite a responsible point really, is the question of the cultural violence in our society. That indeed, it's time we take responsibility and go back to our people and begin to engage in response to the question of how do we deal with this question of the prevalence of the of violence in our society and so on. Because even in the research that we did, it shows that people resort to issues of marriage just on the basis of misunderstandings, but also even differences whether I like this or not like this, and because you don't agree with me, all I do is to step, and so on. So that's the issue that I think we have got to confront. I'm not aware of your discussion between yourself and the in the Acting National Commission on the question of farmers, I think it's something that you know we will probably discuss it at another point. I think the same thing also, I think Honorable Muller on the question of disability, alcohol and cardiac things, you know, plans really apply. You know, Honorable Ramachandra, you're raising a critical point, and it's a point that, or maybe let me just qualify this and make a general statement. The general statement would be, it's well and good that we're beginning to register the kind of problems that we're registering. But we're not going to be complacent about it. Because there's a lot of work that still has got to be done, that we still have got to do. And that certainly has got to be done. And there are a myriad of challenges that we have got to deal with. Now, for instance, the question of CPS, the partnerships at the community level and so forth, and the role that they play, is another area that, in my view, needs revisiting from not just from the conceptual point of view, but from the question of how do we make CPS fully functional and capacitated? How do we do that? Now, and that comes to the question of sourcing, and that comes to the issue of capacitation in one form or the other, that talks to the issue of some other structural challenges as well that we may have got to look into. So, but also, conceptually, it talks to the question of the need for us to view CPS as part of the extension of civilian oversight, as per the, you know, the constitutionally point, or let me say constitutional position around the question of the need to subject the police function and work of the police to civilian oversight. So, CPS, it's also another area of challenge that you would have to look into. On the question of the, again, thank you very much for your comments. Now, the rate of murder, by just a case in point to accentuate the issue that you are raising about the taxi industry, is that also the rate of murder in this country has been somewhat, one of the major contributing factors is the question of multiple murders, and multiple murders have occurred in the taxi industry, for example. There were people squabbling for routes, and any other thing relating to the issue of the operation of how the industry itself operates. Now, that where I agree with you and where I disagree with you is the platform that perhaps you are using here. Because I think for me, where I agree with you, the question of the need to look at the policy loopholes, if any, in the transport industry and the taxi industry specifically, what is it that needs to be done and so forth. I know that the Acting National Commission at some point did share some views with me in terms of how ourselves as a police were experiencing this particular problem at various levels in the country in terms of the taxi industry. And of course, I'm not going to share with you what our discussion was around that. And I therefore would also ask him to desist from the temptation to share what our the nature of the discussion to share what the two of us. So the question of, you know, what is that our experience was. Now, Honorable Bellick, I may agree also with you on the range of the other things, but that's I think of one. And I always caution against this thing, you know, I disagree with the move that seemed to equate a human individual, one human individual to an institution. I disagree with that. The policemen and women are professionals who are trained in accordance with a particular doctrine and they follow a particular set of procedures as enunciated in our law. And that does not depend on the on the existence or non-existence of the National Commission, for example. So I do not see how you may want to tie the acting national commissioner to the current figures for this actually because she kind of learning. I think for me that's a wrong move altogether. And it shouldn't be done. And but I'm also making a general point. The general point being it will shape our democracy well to always approach and view our institutions for what they are. And not to look at institutions as individuals and individuals as institutions, because if we do that, we'll be killing them, those particular institutions. So, having said so, I'm not running away from one fundamental principle that says, you know, being a national commissioner, acting national commissioner in that position, you also have a strategic management role that you play in directing and steering the institute in a particular direction. But we should also be quite clear about the question of the distinctions that are necessary to be drawn in between a human individual and an institution. Now, I think there was a question, is it the honorable friendliness? Correct. Readiness, I'm sorry, sir, my apologies. The question of the crime sets, the quasi crime sets, is when the expectation is that, you know, is that when we begin in the next cycle of quarterly reporting for an example, we'll then begin to factor the question of crime sets. Sorry, I must have said something about that. So I honorable chair, I would then ask that the acting national commissioner also responds to some of the questions that certainly in this response I have not covered, but some of the operational questions that have been raised. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister, for your responses.
Thanks, Minister. Thanks, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. The first one on the assessment, I'll leave it and ask both General Kukule and Mr. Tema to deal with, but it is safe to say, Chair, it remains work in progress. We will reach that point of maturity where that independence will then realize. But if there are better things, we will deal with us. Also, the question of under-reporting, I think, from the research perspective, I'll leave it to the Minister. In respect of the migration from theft to hijacking, yes, we have noted that. And as you have observed, you find that migration flowing to more rural areas. The situation has accordingly been analyzed and it's been responded to. Just yesterday, we had a meeting with all the provincial commissioners, the divisional commissioners, and the heads of DPCI in the provinces, together with the national head, and the crime detection each provincial commissioners looking at the areas of concern and the response, but also having looked already at what the issues are that are flowing out of the incidence of crime as at the end of the first quarter. So we are happy that the matters will be dealt with. And as you will get noted, there is also a direct relationship between your matters and attempted matters, where, for example, one goes up, the other one is also on the high side. But these are issues that are being taken care of professionally. All cases, I think the minister dealt with that one, honorable Mulaji, but simply we did a docket analysis and we found dockets that we, in our view, were unreasonably close. That would have meant that the victim of crime would have been told that this case has been closed. But from a management intervention perspective, when those dockets were closed, we found that there is a reason why a step should be taken and further investigation was to be undertaken, which in many instances resulted in the arrest of those that were responsible for those crimes, and such cases get processed to the courts. It is amongst others one of the reasons why we will have put in place what we call recovery plans within the detective services environment, but also in the visible policy, to ensure that those day-to-day management responsibilities are accordingly executed. And that's also within the context of that management intervention approach that we assess, we find what is wrong, and it has to be fixed. And where remedial action is to be taken, that is being done. I think, Honorable Sheikh, we welcome the observation in terms of what we are doing as police. In terms of other partners, we can't, as the South African Police Service, work in isolation. We are part and parcel of the criminal justice and crime prevention cluster. That doesn't mean that that's the only cluster with whom we consult, we engage also other departments on issues of common interest. So yes, departments like social development and so on comes into the equation. It's ongoing work of government. It is important that we do not operate in silos, but we continue to share what the challenges are, but also where we have best practices, what are those best practices, and how do we as a collective deal with the issues that we are confronted with. The issue relating to drugs, Honorable Chair, as the Minister indicated earlier, there is capacity that is being established within the house, but what we must always keep in mind is that you will not find the house or DTCR at each and every police station. Thus, that investigation function is also being performed at the detective level, which you find at the station level, including operations that we will do from a proactive policy perspective to deal with the incidents of drugs, gangs, and the proliferation of firearms, because they go together in this regard. The issue of licenses, I think we've spoken to this issue and the Minister touched on it. It remains a concern, but ours is to continue our program of action in dealing with the illegal shillings and those that are illegally trading in liquor, which is evident it creates problems in society. General Sukukuna in the presentation did attribute to the percentage that liquor or usage of alcohol accounts for in the particularly in the case of MENA. So it is an area that enjoys priority attention when looked at the root causes and the contributors to crimes in a number of areas. You will not only find this in as far as MENA are concerned, you will also find it in rates and all those crimes where a person is under attack. The car hacking or the hijackings is commonly known. I think Honorable Sheikh's observation is correct that in many instances there is a market. So when that vehicle is targeted, it is distant to someone where an arrangement is already made. We continue to do an analysis on this one to inform our operations to counter such. What we also are aware, and that's why you see the trend in terms of car theft. Car thefts are more on a downward trend, and the hijackings are on the upward trend. social excellence even attribute that to the level of security in the modern class, because it has become more difficult to break in and get the cash started. So the easier way is to get you out of the vehicle so that you are able to hand over the keys and they could move to wherever they want to go. But it's a situation that we continue to look at and respond to accordingly. I take a look on the issues relating to the training. Our training program is well underway, and it's a training that is responsive to the needs of the organization. As and when the new things emerge, we would want to factor that. That's why we don't do the training at basic training level. We have got our intensive training, including refresher training programs on various levels. The issues raised by Honorable Khunova, while the medals include those medals where farm workers and farmers are under attack, I can share with you the information which is available. I'll just do 3 financial years to give you a sense of where we are, and I will only talk to the period under review up to the end of the financial year. We had reported incidents of violence on farms and small holdings, which we consider to be the farm attacks and so on. In the 2013-14 financial year, we had 517, that's the total. I have a very provincial breakdown, but I will not go there. The 14-15, 490 incidents. The year under review, 446. Now, if we talk of medals on farms and small holdings, which is where the farmers and the farm workers are victims, in the 13-14 financial year, 57, it went up by 3, so the 14-15 financial year, it came 60, and it was down by 8 in the 15-16 financial year to 49. As I said, this year, particularly when it comes to the murders or the ECDs male assault, it would have been accounted for in the broader category that we have spoken to, just to extract that those would be the figures that we are talking to. And our presentation would have acknowledged that the contract crimes are a little bit stubborn. But while they are a little bit stubborn, would have shown the commitment as the South African police service to deal with the related crimes. So we agree that far too many people get killed, and there are many more contributing factors, some of which not solely addressed by the police. I think Honorable Khumeva made that observation too, together with the minister. And this is where the collective will go a long way in addressing the crime situation. But also important is that we should not take any crime for granted, because if small issues are not being dealt with, I think General Stukune did attribute a percentage of the matters of domestic violence. So those matters require attention from the broader society. In terms of the issue Honorable Khumeva raised on aggravated robbery aggravated versus pure crimes, just to clarify, when General Sukuna presented the picture on robbery aggravated, which was on the increase, that those figures include the pure crimes. So it doesn't read robbery aggravated plus pure crimes. The pure crimes are included in the probably aggravated. The reason why we are specifically making the geo crimes visible, as he presented, he spoke about the crimes hit mostly according to the victims of crime study. So we are acknowledging that there is an issue there, but at the same time, I thought we made visible that in some of them, while they remain a little high, there is commendable progress that was made. I think part of the issue, we made visible the crime rating, which we said it went up 40.3%. We agreed on the high side. And then included there is robbery at residential premises, 2.7% increase. The general made visible the raw figures to say, in comparison to the previous year, it is on the low side, but still, it's something that we can't be happy with because work is still to be done there. The same applies to robbery at non-residential premises, which went up by about 2.8%. But here, as I'm emphasizing, the trio crimes figures are included in the robbery aggravated figures that were presented. We can't agree more with Honorable Muller on the visibility. It's one of those that we advanced within the basic, the back-to-basic approach to say we will increase police visibility. It was also a matter of interest yesterday because one of the observations he said, if the car hijackings, for example, on an increase, we should be able to say where are they hitting, and we should be more visible in those areas where, for example, they are more on the increase because there's a direct relationship there, and there's commitment from management to deal with the issues. I think the minister spoke to the use of alcohol. The Central for One Centers, we will have to continue to analyze them or the fine squad in terms of community disability. Honorable Ramazan, there is an issue around partnerships. The partnerships are entrenched in our approach. Community police forums play a critical role in policing. There are many other structures that we work with. The reason why, Honorable Chair, you will not find the CTF here with us as part of our delegation is because this is a management delegation. And there is also a smaller matter of cost containment measures, which is always to be ahead to. We, Honorable Chair, still have the social crime prevention measures within the civil policing environment. Major General Momentetti is in that environment, and it's a problem that we continue to drive because it is very critical. One of the establishments within our structures in the civil policing environment is crime prevention awareness, because we believe that there needs to be education from the police side on our communities to enhance the preventative measures. Honorable Chair, the increases that were visible, the trend in some provinces, this among others involves the implementation of the cluster structure, and it involves the redeployment that we have realized of senior managers to ensure that we have got skilled people in key positions on all levels, particularly at cluster and station level, closer to where the communities are being serviced. We now are satisfied that all the clusters have got commanders at the level where they are supposed to be, and all what we expect from them is to focus on police work and make a difference in the fight against crime. And our resolve is to ensure performance management so that we all are doing our bit in the positions that we are occupying. Of course, that process will not go without knowing, you left a fraction of views. But I think what is more important to us is the interest of our communities and the need to execute the policing mandate. And the progress that we have made was in stabilizing the leadership, particularly in the provinces. We now have all our provinces with permanent or the provincial commissioners, and the deputy provincial commissioners are in place. And part of our back-to-basics approach is to make more resources to stations. And our focus is going to be now on national in ensuring the best is we could relocate to stations get realized. Honorable Mbele started by mentioning an overwhelming statement. Now, I have seen a significant reduction of crime in the number of cases, and this can only be attributed to the work we do as the police. This is work that we can't do on our own, that all of us must roll our sleeves and make sure that we make the fight against crime a reality. And I think as management, we continue to express our appreciation to those men and women in blue who continue to make their sacrifices to the extent that some of them lose their lives, but that's for a good cause. I already spoken to the murder, attempted murder, in terms of you will find that where murder goes up, attempted murder may also have went up. But we just as a way of addressing this, we have a program which we'll be looking to very soon, whose details I do not disclose, specifically related to the wanted, the repeat offenders, and so on. Because not everyone in society who is a criminal. It's a fraction of people in our communities that harbor criminality in their minds. And therefore, we will want to get much closer to them and make sure that they are taken to where they are supposed to go and answer for what they have done. So, part of our intensifying of investigation work within the back to basics approach is to make sure that we give ourselves a chance of winning a particular round, including what Honorable Bell mentioned, crime intelligence, the strengthening of crime intelligence, because without crime intelligence, we are doomed. We need to continue to beef up our intelligence capacity to be able to give our chance of winning the fight against crime. Again, here, Honorable Chair, society plays a very critical role. Not only the South African police service will do this. Sure, crimes, numbers mentioned, the observation was correct. You will find that there are some challenges, but surely in the presentation we have shown that the situation is not getting out of control, and all these areas are a subject of thorough analysis and targeted interventions that we will advance, whose details cannot be disclosed because it's more for operational purposes, Honorable Chair. I think Honorable Williams, the Minister has already dealt with the quarterly report issues. On the sexual offences, you spoke about the aggregated specifics of the sexual offences. I think that detail made available, I just have to verify that on the detail that will are published, I think we are subject to the publication of this at 12 o'clock. You shouldn't have access to such. But I think what is pleasing for me when it comes to the sexual offences is the downward trend. You will have noted in the presentation that it is one area where we have made a serious dent. I don't want to say what I said to the managers yesterday in the shape of this particular time, but for us it is looking good that it is on the decrease. I thought that the issue in terms honorable is a colonna, on the you think about visibility and the invisible. I think that we are talking there amongst others on the undercover operations and so on to be able to deal with the incidents of crime. And maybe relating to the issue raised by Honorable Mbede, that's amongst other part of the reasons why we have taken crime intelligence and split it into two, crime intelligence and counter intelligence, because there is a lot of work that we need to do at a level where we know best to make sure that we win the fight against crime. So we'll continue to intensify, but at the same time mobilize our communities in this regard. We have noted, which is part of our problem of ensuring that we make policing accessible, bring policing closer to the communities. Amongst others, the Minister of Police, who has announced our program of action in rolling out the mobile police stations, where, for example, we are not bringing police stations much closer to our communities, but we also approach it with the understanding that it's a program that is heavily dependent on resources to make sure that we do cover it. Fortunately, we find ourselves in a democratic within a democratic dispensation, which our presentation is talking to the provinces and the entire country. It is not selective in terms of rural or urban. It has got the whole broad coverage, and we do not have any intention of not giving our communities equal shares. And if we find that there are some areas where we are not doing well, we commit ourselves to continue to improve. I think the Honourable Member mentioned the vehicles and so on. It's an ongoing program of the police to ensure that we capacitate accordingly. I think the issue of liquor licenses has been dealt with. And then, Honourable Martin, I know when we presented to Cabinet, the first person who raised the issue with us was Honourable Mr. Ramaphosa. He was also very concerned about Limpopo. And we are equally concerned about what has transpired there, but we believe that we are taking the corner. We have deployed accordingly. General Ledova is the new provincial commissioner of Limpopo, and we look at how we did in the first quarter. We're beginning to see a picture developing to the positive, but we agree with ourselves that it's not going to be an overnight thing that we will realize everything. But there were a number of issues in the POPO, if you just go back to the previous study, to the financial year under review. One, yes, it may have gained momentum in this year with the beginning of the school, but it has been an issue the bulk of the previous financial year. We have been managing those tensions all the way, including during the registration period and so on. We had the mining strikes from Northern Mokopani, a number of these delivery protests that contributed greatly to the situation. But we also know that Limpopo, to some extent, is an entry point of those that are coming to visit us in numbers. And it remains a situation that we are looking at, safe to say that
at this age, we believe that we have our finger on the pulse in as far as that is concerned, and we seek to defend the Quran. The last one, Honorable Chair, Honorable Martin, is issues around 1959 and 71. Now, slide 61 will be the national feature in as far as the percentage change. And I'm just going to focus on, I think there's a 73% that is 7.3% minus, which is in the 2013-14 financial year. The yellow bar in the 2015-14 financial year, which shows an increase of stock theft by 1.8%, and in the 15-16 financial year, minus 1% in as far as stock theft. So when you go to slide one, it accounts for stock theft, but it's a breakdown per province. And honorable members will note that on slide one, Eastern Cape recorded a 4.6% decrease, Free State a 1.7% decrease, KwaZulu-Natal a 3.8% decrease. So that decrease in those three provinces would have realized that 1% decrease in as far as stock theft is concerned. We still agree it remains an area that requires much more attention. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I suspect I covered that all.
Thank you to any of your colleagues for this tax issue. This is a charity register.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. As it is reviewed by the National Commissioner, this is a work in progress. It goes hand in hand with the resources, both financial and non-financial. But in general, in this presentation, he mentioned the development of standards and policies, and that some of the work that the police have touched a bit on the dissemination policies, prevention policies. Once the full implementation of the recommendations have been done for all the dimensions of SOSCAP, what we follow it will be a self-assessment process that we're going to work together, so to say, and once they've done a report based on the self-assessment, and a request will be done to the police in general for a full independent assessment that will cover all the dimensions of the system. And the statistician general will appoint a team of the data quality assessment team that will implement the full independent assessment.
Thank you. That's all the responses. Members, if there's anything else we want to finish in a minute, I think it's got like one press conference. And members, there was a few questions on the rules side. I know some of the members couldn't attend, so let's stick to the topic of today. Stats, I know there's other interesting issues, but I mean, we'll get to you in the next week as well. Honorable Bonifaci, Stats Prime, and Honorable Jade, or the marking. In that order. Thank you. What about you?
Thank you, Chairperson. As the ANC, we would like to express our appreciation to the improvements in the overall visa. Also to commend our Indian Union in blue and the tax management for their hard work to make us the citizens of this country in faith and artists. But again, yes, there are some categories that need attention. That is why we call for strengthening community involvement in the fight against crime. The appointment of General Paran as acting National Commissioner and the support he gets from his management has really brought a huge change in this department, I think.
Thank you very much. Honorable Commissioner.
Thank you, Chair. I don't think it is possible that the preliminary report again, whether you'll be able to also tell us what is the conviction success rate and whether in the figures that you're giving us of the incidents, how many of them would be like a repeat offenders, so it gives us a better picture that you might have one with half a dozen different convictions. But my more important point is there's a perception out there, and I think this is what's affecting the morale of police officers as a gender. Because of the outcry from the public and politicking and whatever sort you call it, there's not enough protection for police officers from the department. Because when you want to protect them or defend them, there's an outcry. So there is a perception that the department is not, and which makes it very difficult for them to perform their duty. I have been to the PC where it's as good as the guy was found, you know, guilty without even being found. But now he's, you know, and after much a period of investigation, I think it was found that, you know, he actually self-defense. So for me, that is really a serious problem. I don't know if you can perhaps comment on that for me. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. Just to respond very quickly, just to say to the minister, I take his points about distinction between the individual and the institution. As long as we both agree that leadership remains crucially important, because a leadership of rare caliber can actually undermine an institution, so the two factors certainly are related. And just one very short question, if the commissioner's team has the answer. I was just curious, in terms of the figures on commercial crime, how much of that is cyber crime? And are we seeing an increase in trend in a year-on-year comparison on that, because that's come up a couple of times in the committee, is the need for more focused attention on tackling cybercrime in that regard. And then, Chair, if I may end on a positive note, is just to say that I do appreciate the increase in figures on detection of driving under the influence. I think that one figure we can never be unhappy about seeing go up, because it means that police actions through operations are detecting more of this, which should strengthen the deterrence effects on that behavior, so we can reduce road accidents under influence. So I will acknowledge that and say to the commissioner and his team much strength to them as they continue with the improvements going forward.
Honourable Murphy, you will be the last, I think. No other hands? Everybody covered? Thank you.
Thank you, Sir Christian. I've been cracking my head here trying to think, and I just decided that I'm going to ask you. So, sexual offences, results of police action. My understanding is that sexual offences are during the night when it's dark. How do the police go around detecting that? I was trying to think that's not maybe best to go. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. That's all the questions for today. Manager, please, General, thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable Chair, Honourable Minister. Let me start with the last question. Our research work shows that you also have quite some percentage, for instance, of second violations or offences committed in open spaces, on the streets, and so on. So what you are referring to, Honourable Mike, is more to do with our services as members of the police doing our work by patrolling, for example. And therefore, in the course of that, you come across some of these particular sort of violations being committed, and the whole council. So it's more to do with that. The question of repeat offenders, 26.9% of the people arrested for murder are repeat offenders. And that in a sense, you know, tells you that you also need to, we will also need to mount some work there insofar as the question of what is commonly referred to as the recidivism. Now, so let me leave it at that for now, but that's what National Media Study, for instance, has been. That's one of the issues at play. Probably, thank you very much for the constructive comments on recognizing the improvement that we are making as far as the question of the crime states are concerned. But as I said, the Honourable Chair earlier on, that for us, this is then the beginning in a sense. We have to intensify and consolidate our efforts in various areas of interventions as we've made. Prevent some more progress around the question of crime and sort of fighting against crime in South Africa. But also importantly, we still continue to make this appeal that all of us, within the South African society have got to mobilize ourselves against the scale of crime in our society, because everything else is dependent on the work that we put in at this particular level. If we have got to develop this society, for example, if we have got to prosper, we surely do need to get peace and stability amongst other things. That's one fundamental ingredient and the precondition towards development and prosperity. So it's going to be important that going forward, we continue to intensify our efforts as the South African Police Service, working together with members of the community, for instance, in the fight against crime and so on. Yourselves as political leaders, you play a crucial role in the sense that you are leaders of various constituencies. And we would also ask that in your various capacities and positions in society, as well as your constituencies, begin to engage with the consequences with the view to making South Africa much more safer than what it is. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. General. Anything from your side of the public?
Honourable Chair, the Minister has spoken. I think there's just one issue, Honourable Bennett, on cybercrime. That information is not readily available. It's part of the operational assessment. At an opportune moment, we may make that available, but not the current.
Thank you, honourable members. Thank you, Minister. And maybe just my takeaways, summary from the committee side. I think it's also important for today's debate in analysing figures to note that the 2006 baseline was based on 48 million people. Now, the current baseline is on 55 million people. So, indeed, there's about a 7 million increase in the population if you look at the raw figures. So that, I think, will also give more context to the increase. I think in the committee notes the progress with relation to the reduction in the general categories. Two, contact crime, of course, still a cause of concern, but I think the undertakings given today in terms of visible policing, sector policing, and the role of the cluster commanders and station commanders is going to be vital to deal with the issue. We also noted the efforts by the police management under the intervention plans, and also the appointment of the new provincial commissioners and the strengthening of the national management team, I think is going to be vital in taking this matter forward. For the role of society, I think the minister also highlighted that very happy to deal with the issue of social appeals. It's an issue that will be quite vital, the issue of values and also a multi-sectoral approach for other departments. The part, of course, that the committee believes they must much more emphasis, of course, on the issue of firearms and illegal drugs, that's going to be vital. Six, the migration of crime trends to certain areas is, of course, a concern, and there are crime intelligence is going to be vital, and we welcome, of course, the strengthening of that area and also the introduction of the counter intelligence capability. Then seven, the issue of specialized units. Again, the new units that's worked on the DPCR, but also in SAPS, vital. Then, at the attention of quality assurance as part of the statistical model, and it's taken steps to a new level, and I think we monitor that quite closely. And then finally, the role of communities, as emphasized by the Minister, I think Honourable Mr. Khan also referred to the issue of the CPF, so that's why the white paper process at then on Wednesday, 9 o'clock, we're going to focus on the current role of Metro Police. And so we'll also have Hackett with us to look at Metro Police incidents, and of course South African Police Service to look at the current cooperation that is taking place between the South African Police Service and the Metro Police. So that's next week's program. So we come to the end of this evening. And thank you very much.
Thank you.